Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part two of the Big Birthday Bash, episode 400 of the Distraction Pieces podcast. I've given you a long intro on the first one. If you haven't heard the first one, go back and listen to part one first, then it'll all make sense. But me, Stu and Chris have jumped back in the whiffin for the first time in 2 years to have a little drink and celebrate the 400th episode of the Distraction Pieces podcast, the 10-year anniversary of the Distraction Pieces album, including an exclusive 2-disc white vinyl special edition 10-year anniversary, big up, and the 40-year anniversary of me on this planet. So yeah, let's get into part two. As ever, you know with these ones in the whiffin, drinks will be flowing, as will the jokes and the opinions and the views. So take everything with a pinch of salt, eh? All right, let's get into it. Part two of the Big Birthday Bash. Return to the Whiffin.
This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces.
Right, here we are on part two, still in the Whiffin. We've got the snacks out. So we'll try and eat away from the mics, even though my lips are smacking as we go. But what should we start with? Obviously, it's the 400th episode of Distraction Pieces. We don't actually have to talk about episodes of Distraction Pieces, but are just favourite episodes of your podcast. Like, Stu, you've started at least 8 new podcasts in the pandemic, haven't you, right? You've started, it was acceptable in the 80s, mm-hmm. Which is you and Cunt and the gang listing films you've not seen.
That's brilliant. Is that what happens in it? I've obviously not listened.
It's genuinely great. I've listened to every episode.
I bet it's really good.
Because you guys realised that you'd been mates for how long?
40 years.
For 40 years.
Wowzers.
So you now go...
Did you think he was mates with you before you were mates with him? Just like your relationship with
him? He thought it was 30.
But you go back 40 years each month. So yeah, it'll be March
night before last, we recorded what had happened in August 1981, films, amazing. TV, and yeah.
How much time did you give over to me being born? Was that the main
yep.
section?
Yep. Yep. There's like a second part to that one. Yeah, we ain't recorded that yet.
But yeah, it became an ongoing a joke for me because I'll always get the film releases of that year, of that month, like what's in the charts, TV listings. And for about 3 in a row, they'd get the film listings and go, this came out. Have you seen that? No, I never saw that. This came out. You seen that? No, I never saw that. I was like, just drop the film bit. If you're literally just going to list films and go, no, I never saw that. And one time, Stuart accidentally got the film releases of that month in 1980 and they stuck with that because they said, oh, we haven't heard of any of the ones from 1981. They went through, they hadn't seen any of them either. It's like you pick these ones and you have nothing to say. But you've done that one. There's been new series of Two Girls, One Podcast.
Those girls are fucking brilliant.
One Shot. Sorry. Yeah.
They're great. They cracked me up on Mum and Mama recently. Yeah. I love them on your podcasts.
They're great.
Yeah, they're good. What other ones have you started? You've started a few more, haven't you?
No. Well, MMA Fan Podcast.
Fan Pod, yep.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That's a big one that you've had literally every MMA fighter on already. Amazing.
Yeah, it's just been as when we done the, when I come on your podcast, the same one that Chris come on, a little while ago, speaking about lockdown and mm-hmm. you know, what you do to kind of keep yourself together. And that was it, you know, not being able to open the club. Then that's what I've done. I come down here and started podcasting and had the time to kind of start some things that I thought might be fun. Yeah, and they have been fun. And and that's pretty much it. I think I'm done with a new podcast now. But yeah.
Sounds like recovering, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you'll relapse.
I'm done with them for now. Have there been any favourites or anything that come to mind?
Chris and I recorded one on Saturday that I laughed a lot at. They're the ones I like when, because we've been doing it for so long together now, with even not that much prep, we can make something really fun.
Yeah.
And we can.
We can polish a turn.
Bearing in mind, I listen every week. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Epic.
Genuinely, I've never told you this. But, you know, there was a period where we were doing 3 or 4 podcasts a year.
Yeah.
I eased off because you guys had just stopped making any prep and any effort. So it was just like,
so bad.
And you know the one that we didn't release?
Yeah.
With Justin, you've said a few times, part of that was him getting drunk. Part of it was just it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And that was the thing where it got to the point where I was prepping all of them and you guys have turned up going, here we are.
Do you know what?
Here we are, guys.
I'll pip you.
Not planned anything.
No, you should have said.
So he's... No.
It's very true. It's very accurate,
though. Part of it was, I thought, if we do an end of year one, if we go back to end of year ones, we've got a whole year to talk about. Mm. And I've got a big reveal now, and this might be the biggest impact that COVID has had on the nation. Last Friday, we were going to do a podcast.
Yeah.
We were going to start at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
I had it arranged to walk through that gate at the end of your garden at 8 p.m. Justin Price.
No.
And he was going to be the surprise guest for at least episode 3 or maybe half of episode 2. It was all lined up. I'd cleared it with him. He'd done a little COVID test and everything to be clear to come.
No.
We moved it to Thursday and he's on holiday, isn't he? Yeah. As you'll know, he's abroad. So he was hot because you know he's been hassling me to come back on for so long. And I was like, look, here's the plan. Don't still tell Stu and Chris, because this is a surprise birthday podcast. I hadn't announced it. I thought I'll get a surprise guest, have Justin on. I was going to set up another mic and say, oh, buddy likes me to do a mic for like the room sound now as well. I just say it's ready to go.
Oh, that'd have been amazing.
And then, yeah, because we moved it, he was so gutted. I said, Chris has pinged. He was like, well, and originally he was going to be flying back today. Mm. And he said, I can come straight from the airport. I was like, I don't want you coming straight from the airport, mate. And he was like, I have to do a test before I fly. I was like, yeah, that's before you fly. You're then going to get on a plane and go through two airports.
£800 on tests at the moment.
Yeah. So I was like, no, I'm sorry, mate. You can't. So he stayed out there longer now.
Yeah.
He was going to be coming home today. They just said, let's stay longer. But that was the original plan. So shout out to Justin Price, the legend.
He's...
Big Papa
a really amazing human being.
I love him.
I honestly
love
think
him
he's,
dearly. He got too drunk on that night. He got overexcited. And that's part of why we couldn't release it.
He's a cunt.
But genuinely, imagine the pep talks I've been giving him in WhatsApp saying, look, just relax. Obviously, as we've discussed, we're going to be drinking more responsibly these days anyway.
Yeah.
Don't do any pre-drinks. I don't want you to do pre-drinks. Turn up. The reason he was coming late was because I thought, well, if we're a couple of podcasts ahead of him,
yeah,
exactly,
he can't get too.
He'll peak when we peak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't to be. So I guess he'll have to come on officially at some point, rather than as a surprise. But I hadn't decided if I'd tell you about this or not. But when that came up as a thing, there, that's got to be done.
That's pretty cool. I've got some cool things to talk about as well on the format.
What have you got?
What is in my bag?
Ooh.
Do you want to? Shall we play What Is in My Bag game now?
Yeah.
All right. What's in my bag?
Okay. Snacks?
Nope.
Have you bought the contents of Molly's mum's little shelf?
No, I haven't.
Should there be questions or clues or something?
It's quite vague.
All right. One of us, a clue? One of the
How many items are there?
There's two intentionally, one I accidentally brought, and I think I showed you is some condoms. I don't know why they're in my bag. Molly, I've got no idea why there's condoms in my bag.
It's all right, I'm staying over Stu's tonight. I don't want to get a cab home.
For listeners of Hardcore Listening, they know I wear condoms, so parts of me don't fall off inside my girlfriend.
Jesus. I mean, yeah.
Pubes.
Well, there's a birthday present. There's a pre-birthday present.
People
for
should know that traditionally, Chris has previously on my 21st. In fact, wasn't it?
Oh,
he got me some pubes.
That's so rude. That's so offensive because I got you a lot. I got you 21 birthday presents.
No, that's
in
what
your,
I'm thinking. I don't think the pubes were my 21st. I think they were my 30th.
Yeah.
And the 21st.
I remember the pubes as well.
Were you there? So yeah, the pubes were my 30th, and the 21. Gifts in a box included an ice cube, a Richard melted, included a pair of his mum's knickers,
right,
which were wet supposedly from the ice cube, and numerous other things.
It reminds me, my mum, bless her today, she said, wish, can I use your normal, name, wish Dave a happy birthday for me. And then she said, only kiss him on the cheek. There's so much to read into that. It's like, do you think me and Dave are seeing each other? Or are you trying to specify that you don't want to plant a smack on him? Because we know she said that you're handsome previously.
Imagine that. My mum said happy birthday. Enough with me. Full Thank you, Gene.
Full French kiss. And then go, she said you know what that was about.
Gene's had a drink.
No time to explain. That is a callback. That is a callback. My mum says happy birthday. So
it's a birthday
present.
Pubes. Okay, all right. Well, right. Might not be pubes.
Okay.
And pubes can come from many different regions, by the way, just as a little, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're good at, like, deduction, you might figure that out. There's something else in there that is really mysterious.
You're saying pubes?
More pubes.
Pubes from a different region.
And a
person. You've had a beard trim, haven't you?
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's really legit. We'll get into that when Pip does the big reveal that you've spoiled by immediately guessing.
Shall we do the big reveal in part three?
Was the big reveal not Big Papa Jay?
The big reveal of what's in his bag. The big reveal for me was Big Papa Jay, but he's not right. here. I'm guessing he's not in the bag. I've seen photos of him on the beach. That'd be a hell of a reveal.
Parts of him are.
Is
right.
it
yeah, exactly. There's something else. So do you want to just guess a little bit more about what else is in that bag, other than condoms and pubes?
Is it some kind of toy?
Probably not.
Oh, stop being so vague. Can you eat it?
No.
That's what I was going to ask. I recently got an orange Toblerone, and it made me think of the fact that you guys thought you'd invented the Toblerone that has the
I don't think we've
done the Terry's chocolate orange in.
We did,
Terry's orange. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, we probably thought we did.
You made a big deal out of that about 2 years after it was a big meme on social media.
Pretty decent, mate.
You're like, I've come up with this thing. So it's not edible.
All right. I found it in my mum's house. I want this to be family friendly. Don't disrespect my mama.
Okay.
It's not her butt plug.
No. Stew's glasses?
His watch by a bedside table.
Stu's wedding ring.
A picture of my dad face down. I'm sorry, Dad. Oh. I'm just been a bad mummy.
This is highly
disrespectful.
Let's just pop Mr. Glassendown up.
Dad, don't look at me, Bill.
Oh dear.
So mum's ass. It's not from the bedroom. There we go.
Okay.
Any more?
Is it a photograph of you?
No. Ooh. No, it's a good one though. Good one. Sounds very. That would be sort of my MO. So I'll give you that. It's not a present. It's something that I just want to show because it's incredible.
Okay.
Do you want to guess another place? In the house.
Is it just one of your Warhammer toys?
No. Really
like, you've got to see this Space Marine on a bike.
You've got to see this new dreadnought.
This is amazing.
No. Nothing to do with plastic or
diary?
Hobbies. No, not mum's diary. No.
Not your mum, is it?
No. It's me.
Is it some kind of craft?
Probably not. Guess a location, firstly. Guess a location.
Living room.
No.
Kitchen.
No. Keep going.
Toilet.
No.
Office kind of computer room.
Maybe think
garden.
It's from the garden.
Is it a gnome?
No.
No, he was asking me about you.
If you see me right now, I look like a gnome.
You've got a little party hat on.
You look like a gnome.
No, he's not, no.
Anyway, back to what's in the bag.
Where did you first meet him? Was it someone's garden?
He's fishing.
Was he holding a fishing rod?
Is it a gnome? Rather than he. Right. Is it solar powered?
No.
Okay.
Fucking weird.
I don't know, because a lot of garden light things.
Don't explain that any further.
I hope this ain't an anticlimax.
This is not an anticlimax. It was buried.
Is it a bone?
I fucking turned up there.
Is it bones?
It's not a bone.
I mean, treasure of some sort.
Buried treasure.
It's buried treasure?
I had to report it. I had to report it.
Have you brought a grenade to my ass, Chris?
I had to report it to the authorities.
Well, it's a weapon of some sort, surely. Well, let's leave it there. And then we'll reveal it in episode 3.
Yeah, there we go.
Speaking of buried treasure and stuff, kind of related, I was saying to Chris on the way, and I've told you over text, I've been doing a bit of night swimming down Chalkwall. You and me, I went to Chalkwall for an early morning swim, like 6:30 or something. Mm-hmm. And absolutely loved it. We were surprised that there was more people there than we were expecting. Since then, my mum has joined a group of older ladies who go swimming early tides and late tides called Blue Tits.
Great name.
The Blue Tits, which is great comedy. And I think it was them. And so my mum's been going down, but I didn't. They went there on my night ones. But I messaged you to say, look, there's no early morning swims at the moment, but there's like a 9:30 p.m. and an 11 p.m. high tide. And the last two nights I've gone down there, bloody lovely.
Yeah.
Like warmer than I like. I like it kind of cold.
Oh, you fuck. Of course you like. Of course.
Well,
of
you
course.
Know, that's kind of.
Of course you have to say it like that. I was saying to someone, like, I'm looking forward to going to Margate. And, you know, it might be nice. Like, sometimes people, you'll come down and we'll go for a dip. But, Pip, you're just going to be flexing that like it's not cold enough for
I like a 6 a.m. swim. In Margate in particular, because they've got a couple of seawater Lidos.
Yeah.
So it's not your kind of gradual walk in. It's just you go down the ladder.
Yeah.
You're in. It's beautiful. Mm. But, yeah, it was really nice. The first night I went, there was quite a few people about, because as you might know, knowing that area, there's been a lot of trouble around there during the pandemic. Like a lot of youngsters, like police have been upped, because a lot of youngsters caused reaping havoc.
What sort of havoc?
Just genuine kids getting stabbed and fighting the police, all sorts of shit. So I parked up and I heard a bit of noise from youngsters. I thought this is going to be, I'm not going to end up swimming. But I walked and I could see that they were down one way, and I walked kind of along the side of Chalkwall Station, and there's a little bit of beach there. And there was people about because it's a nice night, I guess, sitting on the beach, but no one was swimming. So I'm like a bit nervous because I'm on my own, because they said previously we've gone or whatever. Yeah. You with mates, it's a different thing. So I thought, dip my toes in. And it was genuinely warm. It was like a lukewarm bath because it's had the whole day of heating up, obviously. I take my shirt off and go and have a swim, and it was fucking beautiful with the moon there just lighting all up. The one thing that caught me off guard was I kept getting nervous. I don't know, it's partly because I'm on my own, but I've never really swum where you can't see the water at all.
Yeah.
Because the water's just pitch black.
It
looks like black liquid at that time. And there's not going to be any dangerous animals, but I'd swim out a bit, and then in my head, I'd just think of some kind of animal, and I'd be like, I'm going to swim back now.
Some kind of animal. You're going to think of one animal. It's a shark.
Could be an eel. I've been learning a lot about eels recently.
What are you scared about eels for,
mate?
I've
been learning a lot about eels recently. What? They're fucking mystical.
Oh, God.
Genuinely, they're like, this is so
pathetic.
Bro science now, but this is true. No one has ever seen an eel or eels mating.
Because we've got decency, mate. Leave them stupid.
Scientifically, no one's ever seen the mating. There was, I think it was, I can't remember who it was. It was someone like, I dug out my dad over this, because it was someone like
Why are you looking at this?
Yeah, that is weird.
I've learned it off my brother, obviously. Yeah, and now there's no surprises.
That's psycho.
Yeah, that makes sense. It wasn't Socrates, but it's someone like that. And he'd been studying eels, and there was a particular river that was dry. The water arrived and the eels just appeared, and he was convinced that they were made out of mud.
Why are we taking that cunt's word for it?
It wasn't even a river. It was some kind of pond type thing, and they appeared, and he thought mud turns into eels. Obviously he's wrong, but the thing that made me laugh, and he won't mind me saying, my dad was going, how did they get there then? Maybe. And I just went, oh, hold up. Socrates couldn't figure it out. I don't think you're going to. I said, let's leave it. And rightfully me as well. But there's loads of genuine
fascinating
stuff.
Can I just say,
what
fascinates me about that is that, I was saying, I've been reading about thinking. Like, our modern day thinking is based on the Gang of Three, which is Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato. Mm. what we do in this day and age, and what I got put off with, and why I kind of moved away from social media during the George Floyd thing and Black Lives Matter, which, by the way, I'm not trying to invalidate it. It was how I could help that situation more than anything. And I started reading about it, and the fact that we turn everything into an argument. The reason why we turn things into argument is because of current day thinking and our behaviours. And it all comes from the Gang of Three, Socrates, Plato and Aristotle. And that's what they did. Like it was always about putting things in boxes, logic, seeking the truth and argument and critical analysis. Yeah, so that's it. Like, how can we, although we do that, he still thought, an eel was made out of mud.
Yeah.
So, you know, but this is the same guy that our foundations of thinking in the Western world are based on. I think that's crazy. I think it's mad that we've not moved on that far.
I love that Emmy Award nominated Brett Goldstein is going to be, his mind is going to be blowing now, because I remember the first time we had him on the Drunk Cast and Chris got intelligent and serious and he was like, hang on, isn't Chris just the one that gets really, drinks too much and gets rowdy?
Chris.
And again, I love it that it blows his mind.
I mean, let's get that round that quickly.
Yeah. Emmy Award nominated. That's just craziness.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, like,
I've talked to him about.
He's a talented young man. So, and a lovely man.
He's one of a huge part of the writing of that show as well, of Ted Lasso. And I spoke to him about it on his podcast. I went back on, and I don't know if he edited it out because he's quite uncomfortable about praise, but it really deserves extra praise to have a hit on Apple TV. And that isn't a dig at Apple TV at all, but everything I've ever done, like I've only had a couple of films I've been in, but I've been in the cinema. Every question as soon as I post about it is it on Netflix? Is it going to be on Netflix? The BBC thing I did, is it going to be on Netflix?
Yeah.
People are so reluctant to go out of their comfort zone. Yeah. And Apple TV isn't, or hasn't at least then been the norm yet. And that has been one of the biggest shows of the year. Four of them, I think, at least three are up for Emmys in the same category. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. And really? Brett has been writing on that and acting on it. And hell, God bless him.
What an actor. Because, you know,
I always thought
his
acting was shit. I just imagined that he was doing that intentionally.
When I say that, it's like, when I saw him in that and I saw him in, what's the show with Nick Helm he was in?
Was he in Uncle?
Uncle. And both plays a kind of hard man. Yeah. I mean, that's good acting for Brett, isn't it?
It is,
and that's the man.
He's a real wimp.
That you've seen on a trampoline in your garden.
Yes.
Or with your daughters. How's this a convincing hard man? He's amazing. And I think he's just going to go on and on.
He's made Super Bob, mate. Listen, if anyone, exactly. I mean, this is on your podcast, so I'm sure your listeners have watched Super Bob. But Super Bob is an fucking amazing movie. And what makes a good, in my opinion, good screenwriter and someone who can write a good movie is someone who knows what their limitations are and they're creative from it. And Super Bob is about a superhero, but it doesn't have a fucking Marvel budget, does it? And he's written it in a way that it doesn't need it, and it catches you in all the ways you need
off.
To. Yeah, it's incredible.
The beauty of that you're avoiding all of that. It's his day off, and he's trying not to work. Yeah.
Oh, good on
He's
good
amazing. On, good on I mean, that's the Brett Goldstein. I love him. But when are all three of us are going to go night swimming? Because I went back again last night. It wasn't as good because it was really seaweedy.
Tonight.
And just speaking of my paranoia of swimming in the dark, add tons of seaweed, and you're like, oh, I don't know.
That's why I got an issue with the ocean. It was before. It was pre-Jaws. I didn't realise this. I had an issue with the ocean before.
It's an estuary, so I wouldn't necessarily sort of big it up too much. It's Southend.
Yeah, okay, but you've got to keep an eye out for them crafty eels.
The ones made from mud, according to Socrates.
Eels is such a funny word.
Yeah.
Such a weird eel.
It's a sexy word. Eel. They feel nice. Internally, and where was I going? What was I talking about?
I don't know, swimming. But I am.
Well,
I can't remember.
In regards to swimming, my birthday present to Chris, which we've not been able to do yet, is to.
Convenient. Happy birthday. I've got an unachieved. Happy birthday. Once Bezos has made a spaceship that doesn't look like a dick, I'm going to take you into space. Can you believe you did that? Sorry, Stu.
Such a dickhead.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck that guy massively.
Yeah.
But yeah, I said that. My present to Chris would be an Airbnb in Wales or the lakes where we can go and have a weekend of swimming and podcasting. So,
mate.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Would you like that?
I'm well up for that, 100%.
Because that's what we'd like to do.
All over that.
We'd really like to do that with you, mate. And,
all over that.
Whatever happens on tour, stays on tour, right?
Yeah. Take some meals.
100%.
Some meals. We won't need to. We'll just craft some out of mud.
Eels, pills and belly aches.
I don't know when that comes from. It's probably like an album, a music album. Oh, wow. Yeah, oh, I'd love to do that.
Early mornings, and because you've got into more kind of spiritual type stuff, and again, like, let's talk about that a little bit. We talked about it on the mental health specials, on the Where's My Head At. And Chris, mate, you're one of the people I had the most feedback about. About how much people enjoyed that conversation.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
All right, Nate. But yeah, it was lovely. But let's talk about that a bit. You have kind of, we spoke how you've found a lot of things that you maybe wouldn't have found if you weren't in a pandemic and in isolation. And do you know what I mean? You found a lot of spiritualism. You found, like, change your diet.
Do you know what? Weirdly, mate, it's more I was forced to.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember, I was going through a bit of a rough time, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago, and I kept talking about an idea, which I still think is valid, about like imprisoning me.
Right.
Like to lock me up and force me to do something that I want to do, because I've got such a butterfly mind, I'm easily distracted, but I have proven that if I have reduced ability to be distracted, I do good things, and I guess we all can.
It's one of the reasons I've never moved into London. Genuinely, I'd have people talk about that all the time.
It's a massive error for me.
I think I'd get distracted too much. I think out in Essex, there's fuck all to distract me. And that can be a positive and a negative.
It was a huge error for me to move into London when I decided to. It was a lot of fun, but I do think it might have been the wrong move for me. I wrote a thing called The Me Key. I weirdly found it not that long ago because I've read two things to Molly recently. One was a thing called Emonomics, which I wrote after I graduated.
I remember that.
Which was a study outside of how could we live outside of economics and what economics means and stuff like that. And I read that to Molly, who Molly is my biggest critic, and I love her for it as well. And she was like, that's really mad that you wrote that at 21. And it was the same thing. I wrote this thing called The Me Key, and it was about combining, and we still see it at the moment, is that...
Was it a positive or a negative? Was it like childlike, or was it quite well written?
Ridiculous, awfully spelt. And The Me Key is still a thing that I don't think they're quite on it yet, which is the idea that you see a lot of people do nutrition, or they do working out, or they do yoga, or maybe what we call spiritualism. There's lots of different ways of taking that, but to be honest with you, I think really the idea is what makes people most balanced is how they all interact and how they all boost each other. And I wrote it 10 years ago, and I had some success with it 10 years ago, but me being kind of my own worst enemy and quite self-destructive, and I have terrible willpower. It's well documented on this podcast. It's difficult for me to not. I think a lot of us can relate to this. You can sometimes see the truth of what would be better for you, and fully understand it, but you still don't have the ability to stretch out to reach that next goal. And I think COVID and lockdown, in many ways, enabled me to cut out a lot of the things that distract me. And human beings are. I love humans. I think that's a thing, though. I'm easily influenced. I easily get carried away. We see it on this podcast all the time. But having lockdown allowed me to more install the things that I believed, as opposed to, and then instead of them being just beliefs or thoughts, they could become tangible behaviours.
And do you think somewhat you'll be able to maintain that? Because again, no. You guys have talked a few times on the podcast about me being very motivated, and I don't think I particularly am. I'm a big believer. It's a big thing in fitness things and this and things like this, but routine over motivation.
Yeah,
if you're
waiting
to be motivated, it might not happen. Yeah, and I have loads of mornings I just go, I'm not motivated. But if you get in the routine of, here's what I do on this day, here's what I do on that day, and you're a big one for that, Stu, like work-wise, you'll get in routines of really working. Here's when I get stuff done.
Not at a moment.
No?
No. The last 2 months has been really, really weird. Like, don't want to get out of bed and like that.
Yeah.
And then when I do, it's real effort to focus my mind and not get sidetracked by just, you know, doing the fun bits of the job, getting distracted with social media, and then thinking, well, I must do some exercise, go for a run. When I get back, I'll have a shower, then I'll get stuck into that. And I'm finding it, last few months, like, quite tough to get the urge to, and I don't want to sound like Del Boy, but the urge to, like, hustle and go and, like, make something happen, it's just not there.
I'm glad you're honest with that, though, guys, because you're both an inspiration to me, like, honestly. And to know that you have that, because I have been inspired during COVID, but I'm the same, Stu. Like the last like 4 weeks at home, I'm just playing Call of Duty in my spare time. I'm like, I'm doing things that are quite enjoyable, but also I know I've got shit to do.
That's one of the things, I like you mentioned the Rutger Bregman podcast episode, and that was a game changer for me because I was going to ask Stu then, do you think that's a bad thing or a much needed break? Because I've had that in this period as well, where the first chunk, as we were talking about, I was working on so many scripts. I got like 3 shorts finished in this first period of lockdown and this and that. And then I had a period of no creativity. A lot of Canada was no creativity. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've come back. I've had a bit of a breather. Yeah. I've enjoyed time with a new dog and all these other things. And then this last week or two, all over it. I'm back on again. And it's because you need those breaks.
Molly has said that to me.
We shouldn't do it constantly.
Yeah.
Like, Molly the thing that gets me, like people, Mark Wahlberg infamously posted that, here's my workout regime. That's a great workout regime to get in shape for a film. If you do that every day of your life, you will shorten your life, not extend it, not be healthier. And I think that's what's missing in a lot of things. The Rock will post his routine or whatever, and people will think that that's 365 days of the year. And that wouldn't be if it is, they're not in a good place. That's a bad thing. So I think, although it's the way in which you said the lack of motivation, it seemed that you were down about it. That's sad to see, but it's positive to hear because you need to have some of that. You need to have those breaks.
Regarding that, is that I think at the beginning of lockdown, you know, you had the knee-jerk, let's start a million podcasts and, you know, and do whatever you can.
You said that as if that's everyone's knee-jerk reaction. That was only you.
But, you know, I do like to be busy because I like to be distracted. And it felt like, I don't know, it just felt like it's gone on a bit too long that I think right now I know I need to do this, I know I need to do that. But, like, I just can't be bothered at the moment. And it's like,
I think it's perfectly okay.
And like, I think that's quite strange.
Ego, though. Ego wants things to remain the same because you didn't die today. Like, that's the weird thing about ego is, like, if you didn't die, like our relationship with our ego is so different now because we don't, most of our decisions don't result in immediate death. And in the past, they did. So, because our decisions haven't resulted in immediate death, there's no real stimulus subconsciously for you to do anything. And I think maybe that's it. Like, once you get comfortable and you're doing the same routine, your ego's kind of like, cool, keep doing this, man, because you're alive. But you don't even realise that that's what's happening. You see it as a funk, like a period of procrastination.
I get that, but I can also look at the future and see that
It's dark for you.
Yeah. In 6 months.
Oh, sorry,
you
know, yeah.
In 4 months, like, anything could, like, spin on its head. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm in a much different situation. Yeah. But, yeah, it's strange. It really is. Like, but, you know, I'm sure it'll pass. Like, it's just, I'm still sort of doing the things I do have to do. But, yeah, just not got that.
Try and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I think that's the worst thing. The times I've had those periods, my big regret is that I beat myself up over them rather than going, as you were saying, let's just play Call of Duty and fuck about or do whatever. Go in your little room and have a mix, like play some tunes, do stuff that you enjoy. And that's important. But it leads me on a bit, all the things we've touched on here, and one of the things I wanted to spring on you guys.
Oh.
And I wanted to talk about men's body image.
Yep.
Because
that's a good subject.
You guys did a top 5 things that you dislike about yourself on your Hardcore Listing podcast, and several of them were about your bodies, and it's a funny
aesthetic.
One because aesthetic, and it was weird because a few days before, I don't know when you recorded it, but I was talking to my partner and saying, I think I've killed the vibe in our MMA group chat with Blake and Brian. Because
hold up, whoa, what?
We've got a little group chat, but anyway, you two were at Cage Warriors, you posted a picture, and I just said, man, are you and Blake looking in really good shape? You both looked really good.
As well.
But everyone went quiet, and I was like, oh, I don't know if that was the vibe of the group. I was saying to my partner, I was like, I don't know if that killed it, because the group is a bit, let's laugh about MMA. I was like, oh, you lads look like, you looked really trim and had a nice shirt on, and Blake looked bulkier
That sounded like a low-key advance, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah,
and I don't think he's about that with you, so do you fancy Blake?
Of course.
Come on, man. I've seen him do the robot. I'd have sucked him off for that.
But equally,
I was well pleased with that comment. It was really nice.
It's good to hear. But equally, I know that Chris is in the best shape he's been in years. I think you've been doing exercise. You've been eating right. You've been in an actual routine of exercise.
Dinkle aside.
You've been fake vegan. Yeah, Dinkle aside. So then, I don't know, it struck something with me because I know that I've got a lot of negative self-body image. Like, I'm in as good shape as I've ever been, yet I regularly, if anyone takes a picture of me when I'm not expecting it, I fucking hate the picture. I despise it. I hate this little part of my body or this chunk or whatever else. If it's why I always repost the same photo shoots, because a photo shoot will take 100 photos and there'll be three that I'm comfortable with, and I will post them on loop from each photo shoot. And I just thought it was an interesting one because I don't think it's talked about too much. And I thought you guys touched upon it on that episode, but also the vibe of your podcast is to have a bit of a dig at each other and joke about. But I thought it was an interesting one because I think both of you objectively are in good shape at the moment, you know, for yourselves. Like, you've probably had times in your life where you're in
better shape. Can you take your hand off my thigh?
No, I can't. But I said, they were things that came up. And I think, it's an interesting one. So, how do you feel or think about that as yourself or when thinking about your own body image? How comfortable are you?
I'm probably the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
Really?
Mm. You should be, mate. To be honest. You look a fucking mess. As soon as we met today, I was like, look at this tan. sack of shit.
I had a proper laugh because when we went swimming in the sea early morning, I was like, I knew Stu was keen to do it. Yeah. And then a few days, or that morning, I think, I listened to Hardcore Listing and you were talking about how that weekend his daughters had shaved his back for him. And I was like, he's just wanting to get the most out of this fresh shave. He's like, he wants to go and get naked around people. He's like, I've had a fresh shave.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, Shay.
Yeah,
why
do you think you're in that place?
Yeah, I just feel out of shape. I feel old. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too somber.
That's part of it. Do you think that, because I have that every now and then, I'll have a month or so of smashing workouts, and rather than looking at the benefit it's done, I'll think, imagine if I'd done this 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Because you'll know in particular, Chris, I was the least athletic and sporty person. I didn't do any sports, didn't know anything.
Yeah, mate, you were known as
a music kid and a grunge and whatever else. It wasn't the sports thing, so...
I had to stop people beating you up on the regular.
All right. Rather than appreciating the positive effects or whatever, I'll be looking going, yeah. And again, because I knew I was going to bring this up after my exercise this morning, I was like, I'm actually in good shape, but it's weird that I will self-criticise. I think for me, part of it is the change of industry. And I think being in the acting industry, there's such a different comparison to what you should look like. And I joke to numerous people that I like to keep an 8-week boot camp away from being in camera ready shape. Mm. Like, I like to keep in enough shape to be ready to get, like, I don't go crazy, but I like to keep near enough to go, right, if I needed to for a role, 8-week, then let's go for it. And I do think there's some logic in it. The school of acting I kind of have lent towards is that it's about everything. You should have your body in a position to take on any role. Mm-hmm. Like, you shouldn't be necessarily, I can barely walk at the moment and then I get this role and I need to do this and that. I feel that's an important part. So I think I do it for work as well, but I do think I've become far more critical. And that could just be I'm getting older and it's not, I don't look as good naturally. But I don't know if it's a public image thing, but what about are you Chris, because we joked earlier off mic about you taking it more easy and not needing to be the drunk guy. I feel that early days of the drunk cast you started to feel a pressure to be Craig and there's, drunk Chris there's, and be, there's, I'm gonna go yeah, crazy and be
absolutely
the one that
there's
acts
so,
a,
I think
acts
that's as much mental health as it is your external. Like, if we think about when we started the drunk cast, was literally at the precipice of a mental breakdown for me. Like, if we're really honest, like, around that era was when
we both met Stu.
We met Stu. I Stu Sars there about this.
We'd known Stu 10 minutes.
I had we had about 5 successful club nights. and I had a girlfriend I was in love with. I didn't realise that I was getting emotionally abused on the regular. I think you both probably realised I was, and yeah, it helped me through that. But
at the time, thinking, but, I don't know.
I was also quite scared of her.
You don't, yeah, you don't really realise it when you're in that the hurricane of that. And then also, my parents got diagnosed with like both with cognitive impairments, and things took a massive weird downturn. And so the obvious stories of Craig, and I'm a transparent person. I can't help being that. And I think there's advantages to that. I think people warms you quite quickly, but I think you, really? I think also people will people warm to you quicker, but they characterize you quicker. And when people start characterizing you, you can start living up to a stereotype of completely. A certain part of you. And I certainly think I do that, which is the perfect example of that dichotomy of me being intelligent and also an idiot savant. Yeah. Right, like that Brett or Ramesh would go, oh, isn't Heavy he the guy idiot. Who talks about walking around Duke's nightclub with an erection?
Yeah.
To yes, also maybe it. Remotely saying something that by and large was intelligent, maybe not. Yeah, so that all came about at that point. So yeah, I lent into all my mad stories because I'm willing to share them. Like, if and honestly, I know mad shit about everyone and everyone's behaviours. And yeah, I might have pushed it sometimes, and maybe I exaggerate as well what it was. I exaggerate that character, and that's what I did around the drunk cast. And then having those insecurities. And moving into our own podcast, I definitely did that. It's really what I found really nice about lockdown is meeting all our patrons and realizing that our patrons aren't all nutcases who are like Craig.
They've all dropped the court orders, haven't they?
All of them. Dropped them.
I feel, again, before we go too far, yeah. For new listeners, I should clarify that your dad was diagnosed with early onset dementia and your mum was diagnosed with late onset sexiness.
Oh, mate, was that yeah.
And that was hard for all of us.
it was hard. Really was, yeah, it was difficult to come to terms with that. So I think all that contributed around that time.
I think that the journey of your podcast is true, because if you go back and listen to the early ones, you thought you both had to get hammered.
It wasn't sustainable, absolutely. Was it?
It wasn't sustainable, but it was a crutch, right? Alcohol's always been a crutch for me. And I'm upset about that now. I'm really upset about the idea that even though, I don't know, I don't have regrets about all my experiences. I've had some wacky, I can't remember, like probably 5% I've discussed because I've got a terrible memory. I don't regret it, but also at the same time, I wish I had a better reservation. I wish there was a better culture of drinking that I was born into. That
it's really
wasn't that, because wasn't it's, excess it's and being
funny
proud
you say
to be
that because
excessive.
I can see because you were always the one on the club night that you were like, I'm not going to drink much tonight, and then you'd be doing shots. But equally, you rewind a few years, and I would say you and Stu Turl, not this Stu, were the two people that I would always think of as, no matter where we were, if we were drinking or not drinking, you were the two who I knew it would be a good night because you'd just be up for it and enjoy it. Like, again, as I think Mangan talked about this recently, in fact on Mouth of Manliness, talked about having friends who were always down on everything. And that happens in your college years, that you'll go to a club and there'll be one of your mates always like, oh, this place is shit. This is rubbish. They're playing rubbish music. And there was a lot of that around us, but you and Stu Till were the two that I'd always be, it doesn't matter where we are, as long as we're together, we're going to go, let's have a good night.
Well, let's find the fun in the situation.
Let's find the fun, let's enjoy it. And again, that's interesting that then...
You was on meth then, though, right?
It's interesting that then maybe developed because of the kind of areas that we grew up in and because of club night culture, that developed to just get drunk as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And again, it's evident on the early episodes in the Within that we were like, let's do shots, let's do this and do that. But now some of the most popular episodes, we're not getting drunk. We're drinking responsibly, but drinking like grown-ups, we're enjoying
talking about that. It's not
enjoying
that much.
The lubrication rather than
it's funny to watch sometimes. Yeah. It's not so funny to listen to people being absolutely shit-faced. But my relationship with alcohol was developed from an absolute paralysis of women.
Right.
Like I women were greater than my equal. I would find girls so attractive that I didn't have the self-confidence to go and talk to them. And then I look back on photos of me and I actually kind of realise why. But that's an interesting thing because this turns back into what we're talking about originally, which is self-image. And Yeah, I think I've had self-image issues. I don't know if I've ever spoken to anyone who doesn't. Mm. Like, honestly, like my like male and female, like, and also it varies on the area. Like something my girlfriends say to me, I'm talking about sexual partners, just good long-term girlfriends of mine, talk about genitals way different to how men do. It's like, you might worry about size, but, you know, I can assure you that thinking about what your fucking undercarriage looks like and how it presents, it must be fucking terrifying for girls, because it's not just about size, it's about shape, it's about it's a fucking minefield for women.
Yeah. But and essentially, size aside, as long as nothing's falling off, it's all right. Hey, Chris?
Oh, fucking fuck you guys. Yes. If you listen to Hardcore Listing, I'm due for a circumcision soon.
Because bits are falling off.
Yeah, I mean, I've earned that.
Take them off before they fall off, mate.
I'll take them off before I tear them off. I think it's fucking like, just leave it alone. Yeah. I mean,
you keep playing with it, it's going to fall off. Turns out it was true.
When I realised my dick was going to give me no rest, I decided to give my dick no rest. I think that's basically been my approach. And
I'd love it if Chris had to get glasses at the same time. The two cliches. Keep wanking, it'll fall off. Keep wanking, you'll go blind. And Chris is like, guys, take it seriously.
Come on, man.
Molly, I've got just hairs on my hands.
Oh, shit. But I've had body self-image. Moles, weirdly, didn't fucking bother me for the first 25 years of my life. They didn't.
That was something that caught my attention on that podcast. Because you talked about that, and I know that's something that in our youth we would all joke about.
It's a weird thing.
I've spoken about this before, but in the last few years, I've decided to stop generally being horrible to my mates, like within reason.
Yeah.
Because, and it was two things that involved
now
both of you.
No, we're not mates.
it involves two things that involved both of you. And one was when Chris kicked you and you got genuinely annoyed. And I was there. And on that journey home, after we dropped you off, you were still obnoxiously drunk,
and
were being kind of out of control. Mm. And the other one was, as I've said before, I'm sure on this podcast, was when we were in a group message and Chris was on a journey home, and I was just watching TV and being a dick, just dropping in every now and then. And Chris, outside of the group, at one point, messaged to say he'd genuinely been pissed off.
I remember this. This is about the train travel.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and you'd genuinely been annoyed. And that fucking hit me because I was like, right.
Yeah,
because we all know each other so well,
yeah.
I can now, without thinking, really hit Chris's buttons.
Yeah.
And that's not a fucking good thing. I know it's good to have a bit of banter and a laugh, but there's a line, and I know, like,
absolutely.
And we've spoken about it before with our mate Mark.
Yeah,
that he's
yeah.
had lines that we know when we've crossed them.
Let's tell them to all your listenership now, because we can't, but they can.
Let's not go over it. But yeah, again, I realised a lot of that, and I've seen it with close friends in relationships have fallen apart, where I've been like, we were having too much free banter.
Yeah.
Me and people who were in a relationship were digging each other out.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a joke. And for them, it was serious issues in their relationship covered up as banter. And I think that's a negative thing. And I think you listened to the early episodes of these podcasts in the Within. There was Chris played up to the get drunk and act rowdy
go wild
thing.
Yeah.
And we played up to the let's laugh at Chris.
Mm.
And I think there has to be some of that still.
Absolutely.
But I do
laugh.
I've consciously
made the choice. There shouldn't be laugh at me.
No, that's it. I've consciously made the choice in group messages and things like that. Unless I've got something that I think is genuinely funny, like witty, rather than just
persistent.
Let's be horrible. Let's say the horriblest
persistent
thing.
Persistent playing up
so
at the stereotype.
Yeah, it's so common in WhatsApp group messages in particular. Let's just say the horriblest thing to this person.
Well, weirdly, dude, I am
bringing up some horrible things I've said to him recently.
I apologised to you a couple of weeks ago, probably a month ago, because I had, not doing it a lot, but sometimes I'd be bringing up about you making music again.
Yeah.
And then randomly, like I,
Molly
was watching it, and I was weirdly working out.
Brilliant.
And and just getting into the shape that you see me in today, and then you said to someone else, not me, that you know sometimes it gets you down when people ask you when are you gonna
it's
release
a funny
music.
One because
I didn't realize because I'd been literally like not a lot, but every if I happened, I'm not a lot on social media, as we know. If I happened to pass through and I would see someone on Pip's comment thread go, oh yeah, when's your next record? I would literally go like 3rd of August. Like, although that is your birthday, but do you know what I mean?
And then
realizing that, like, obviously being told that for fucking however long.
Oh yeah,
it's again, gonna it sort of like it's... get. It's gonna wear on you. Even if you're like the most positive person I know, like, and you know, like, it's brilliant, and I claim that to a lot of your successes, your ability to have that mindset. But even seeing you be like, it's sometimes difficult to fucking listen, to constantly again, be asked that.
I've talked about it a bit online, and it is, anyone asking is always asking out of positivity, exactly, and out of being a fan and all but. If you stopped doing anything 7 years ago and you've been doing other creative things, genuinely, everything in the last 7 years I've done that I've slaved over or worked hard over, as soon as I posted about it, someone has asked, is there going to be new music soon? And that's fucking tough, man. It beats you down. At first, it's like, well, it is what it is, and it's become a joke. Weirdly, it's almost become more annoying now, people asking me, that are in on the joke, that they're asking me ironically, because I've said so much, it happens often. I've now got followers who are lovely, who are going, so when you're releasing a new music, lol, and just joking, it's like, let's just not. But also, it's a weird one, because I now feel that whole period of my life, I can't enjoy anymore. Because if I post a photo from a gig, and that will come up in memories every now and then, and I loved all of that. I adored all of that time. I'm really proud of that period. If I post a photo, people will be like, tease. Oh, are you coming back? And all this is like, as if I've provoked them. It's like, I'm allowed to have enjoyed doing, I've moved on from it, but I'm allowed to have enjoyed it.
I saw you articulate that really well the other day, which is weird for you because you're not very good at articulating things, famously.
Stutter.
That stutter of yours. Yeah. That's a question I had for you. You are fantastic at articulating yourself. And I thought you did particularly well the other day when you said, I'm allowed to have a past.
Yeah.
And it can stay there, and so am I, Your Honour.
Yeah.
I am allowed to have a past. Yeah. They are in my back garden now.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there.
Leave it alone.
Leave it there, mate.
You'll know that because I obsess over words and responses at times, I'll write long responses out to things, but I was pleased when I got a message off of Chris because someone had said something stupid in a message and I wrote a long response and then I just deleted it and replied, I can't remember what it was, fuck off, you
idiot, or something like that. It was very funny, though.
It was just so funny because
that doesn't sound funny, but
it was recently. Imagine I've forgotten
really
the word
reply.
I've forgotten the time.
Imagine that something really witty, and that's what he said.
But that was it. It was the complete opposite. This guy had written this long, stupid thing.
Did you call him a fucking Wally?
It was something like that. Yeah, I can't remember now. But yeah, it was just, again, there's a beauty at times. There's a show I watched in Canada called Letterkenny.
Do South.
Now, I wanted to bring this up, actually. I genuinely think it's the best writing on a comedy show ever, yet it hasn't got out of Canada.
What's it called?
Letterkenny. Okay. It's not available anywhere. Like, I've had to buy the Region 1 DVD box set of it to show it to people because I want to talk to someone about it. And Ian watched all of it and thinks it's like one of the best things ever. But I liken it to Lemmy's show. How that was huge in Scotland, but no one, it wasn't anywhere else.
I know amazing. Scottish people in England, two or three on contracts I've worked, who, I don't say it's the first thing. I don't go, oh, you're Scottish, do you like shortbread and limmy? But like after a week or so, like I'll test their sense of humour and I think,
in some shortbread and then I'll bring up limmy.
I'll think, you know what, we're getting on.
What are you doing, Chris? Bagpipes. Limmy?
After a couple of weeks of hanging out and
in a kilt,
tolerating me, I think they might like limmy, right? Because they're talking to me still.
Yeah.
So then I'll go, do you like limmy? And they're like, ooh. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
But
like,
that's it. With Letterkenny, and there's a quote in Letterkenny where they're talking about these idiots who are arguing with him, and he says, I've told you before, never argue with an idiot because they'll drag you down to their level and beat you with experience.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. That's why there's so often on social media. It's like, why put a long articulate response when they're just going to be some crazy conspiracy theorist? Well, I could say, fuck off, you fucking bellend, or whatever it'll be. It was so much more fun.
But what's worse is go and read your reply to... Right. I've gone and read replies to people I thought were idiots 10 years ago, and I've read my response to it and gone, even that isn't brilliant. I kind of see the sense in what I was saying. That's kind of perspective. That doesn't mean to say that you might be less of a wally at that point than what they were, but it is a terrifying thing. And yeah, there is a certain point, mate, where you have to learn to just walk away and not buy it. Well, because in 20, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, when society moves on, you might sound like the idiot, but I'm sure not.
I think so often, I think it's important, as you will attest to limit your interaction with social media. I've been a big believer in for a long time that social media is the worst thing. I think I over-justify the fact that it's been responsible for a lot of my career. But I think there's a lot of time where it's not work-based and it's not... So there's loads of battles I choose not to pick on social media. I block people willy-nilly and I adore it. Limmy spoke about this, going, block people and report people. Like, report tweets and report things, because if they get banned, it feels good. And blocking them, and a lot of people say, mute them, because they want you to block them. And my outlook is, wicked. I don't care about you enough to not want you to get what you want. If you want me to block you and I don't want to hear from you, win-win. Yeah. I'll block you. You're happy, it's a win. But more often than not now, I'll block for anything. I had one recently where someone argued with me on Instagram, and it was a valid point that they made.
Yeah.
So I responded, but then people started to pile on them for making the argument against me. I blocked everyone who piled on. I wrote a comment saying...
That's classic.
I wrote a comment saying, don't come to my defence here. Like, it's a valid argument. Yeah. It was a race thing. Yeah. And it's something I had considered before posting the thing I posted. I won't go into detail, but it's a valid argument. I've responded and explained myself. Leave them alone. So after that, everyone who jumped in going, especially, why have you got to bring race into it? I was
especially
like, cool,
because, especially because it's just a it's a person who doesn't have your following. It must be destructive for them. Like, I accidentally see you that accidentally jump on. So this is going back 10 years, by the way. Yeah. And you literally misread the person's tweet. I don't know if it was a dude or not, and it meant not how you'd interpreted it, and you'd kicked him in the nuts. And I think fame has never really changed you as a person. And I think you've become very good at managing your social media, but it doesn't mean to say you can't not set a foot wrong.
Flawless,
and you did accidentally crush this person, and you just fucking misread what they fucking said. And it's like, I think once you have that size following that you have, where there's a responsibility just you have to watch out, because
an expectation.
You can respond and then everyone can pile on. And you know what? You're not fucking, you're not running the government. You're not like the things that we say now, like in social media, like you can have a bad idea and fucking 30 years ago, you had a bad idea and told it to your mates, and five of your mates would have gone, you fucking idiot. And two of your mates might have agreed. But now on social media, if you've got a platform and you say that and you've got a million followers, 700,000 people could tell you
a million followers. Mate, my mind's spinning at the idea of five mates.
But hold on. You could, if you have a million followers and you say something that just came into your brain, which is absolutely fine, because we have a multitude of ideas, right, that in practice might work or might not. But if fucking 70% think it's terrible, but 30% think it's a good idea and start acting on it, that's 300,000 fucking people. It's a lot of people. It's like we're not... Like, we haven't realised what the repercussions of, bad ideas are. Like, the weird thing is, like, and we should be entitled to them, but things don't exist. Nothing exists until you think of it. That's that's magic. Like, magic is you created something from thinking of it. Because before it became a chair, someone had to have the idea of a chair. Mm-hmm. Before a chair existed, someone thought of it. And once they thought of it, they then made it. And that's the thing, like, you can have a bad idea that becomes an ideology that people then start enforcing on online. And ideologies are bad enough when they are localized. And you could talk about, like, weirdly watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like Manson murders. But you have these ideas, and on social media, it just blows up over the world. I'm drunk now.
No, it's I love that Stu was looking at you like an absolute maniac during that. But I think you're completely right. But I think also, like, we're allowed to have pasts, as you said earlier, we're allowed to have histories. Yeah. And, like, it came to mind because I had to find a tweet recently, and to tell my brother, and it was only a tweet from January of this year, but I couldn't find it. And I searched at Scroobius Pipio and penis, and I found tweets from like 2010 that were just me talking, saying the stupidest, crudest shit. And I was like, oh, this is embarrassing and horrible.
You delete it?
But no, I left them. I think I've only ever gone back and deleted two tweets, and one was this, like, the other night. I found one that I was like, that's shit, let's get rid of that. And one was a previous tweet bigging up some Hitler. Wrestling friends aren't people I want to big up. And it was a weird one. I was like, I'm not comfortable with that being online.
Yeah, get it.
I don't think erasing history is right, but I think if you've got a choice for that not to come in people's feeds. But it's about that development and progression. And I completely think there's more than one thing that Chris saw that I got wrong on social media in the past. But the beauty of progression is the Simone Sun episode I did recently of the Distraction Pieces podcast, where I did a tweet on Trans Visibility Day, and it turned out it was ignorant, and no one piled on me. A few people responded saying, I see the intention, but I think you've got that a bit wrong. And I won't go into the detail, because I go into detail on that episode, but someone linked me to an article by neuroscientist Simone Sun that explained what I'd got wrong. And I hit her up, and 2 weeks later, the podcast was released discussing it and going into it. And that's how we should be in society. We get too defensive. Again, 100%. I know there would have been a time in the past where I would have seen I'd misunderstood it, and I would have still argued that what they meant was this and what they intended. Like, I wouldn't have backed down. I wouldn't have gone, oh, fuck, man.
You know what? Can I define you? So as I say, I've been doing a lot of reading about thinking, and one of them is the ability to think about the opposite situation and how that might work. And what you're a master at in terms of argument, Pip, is thinking about the counter argument and how creatively genius that actually can be. But also, if you're only doing that as a terms to being right. So, like,
it's trying to win, that's the problem.
And
all
you're
things.
So good at that, like, you know, like, way beyond you being an adult and into our teens, really. Like, you can always win an argument. Like, you're a master at that. It doesn't make you correct. You just, under the circumstances of that conversation, you have the intellect to produce a counter to theirs, even though they might, if you tested it, be right. And that's the art of lawyers.
I mean, I spoke earlier of a relationship where a partner said, I realise now I like to break up because it was nice to get their desire.
Yeah.
I think that ability has been a detriment to partners I've had in the past.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm good in an argumentative situation to remove emotion to win the argument. And it's like, that's a fucking horrible and controlling thing in a relationship. Again, I hope I've trained myself out of that now to go, right, I could win the argument, but am I right? I think it's a huge thing to be regularly challenged. Again, it's why on that comment recently, I said, look, don't pile on this person. Because whilst I don't agree with their view, I've explained that I thought about their view before posting this. And here's the conclusion I came to. Whereas previously, I would have gone, here's why you're wrong, dickhead. You know, I've won. Yeah. And again, I think that's been a detriment to partners I've had in the past. I think it does.
Time will tell, and it's we talked about the Gang of Three earlier. How about we just talk in parallel? Let's talk about why that person's argument might be right, or that argument, that person's thought might be right. Now let's think of together what are the counter arguments to it, instead of putting up a position. Because in an argument position, as soon as someone says something and you say something counter, you've put your name to that. So the ego comes into it and you don't want to be wrong. And I've done that so many times where I end up fucking defending a position that I'm like, after a while, I'm like, I think actually At what point do I like put my hands up and go, actually, you fucking got
me here. Talked about this in an early podcast, is your nature at that point to defend the point
being
of
the devil's advocate
kind of caused issues in your relationship early on. Because you argued with your partner's
sister,
and they all came away going, I think your new guy's a misogynist. Is this and that? You weren't. You were just trying to argue, but you were too drunk to do it in a real...
I couldn't articulate myself very well. And also, they didn't really realise of the human being I was. They just met some random guy in a kitchen like a wanker on ecstasy, drinking beer, and then trying to challenge you about how you're thinking. Not because I disagree with the point you're making, but because there are shortcomings in the point you're making, like there is in anyone's point.
I get that, but you tried to hammer them points home when you was driving them home that night, and I think that was...
Well, I'm going to round this episode up. One of the things I've not mentioned I want to talk about in the next episode, because I don't know if it's a good story or not, but I know that one of the Drunk Cast classics was after Stu had a bad holiday. And there was a period a little while ago where I genuinely knew to leave Stu alone because he'd had a bad weekend and things had gone wrong. And I genuinely got a vibe where I was like, I checked in on you.
Yep.
Then we were having a bit of banter in a group message and you were clearly like, this ain't the one, lads, kind of thing. So I checked in and go, everything all right, mate?
How many years ago was this?
This was like a few weeks ago. So
was you in group messages with us a few weeks ago?
This was a few weeks ago. So I want to talk about that in the next episode. But to end this episode, another thing. Again, I'm a fan of the Stu Whiffin podcast network. I want to talk about names that were retired in your age group. And this came to mind because in the 80s, you and Cunt and the gang talked about a mate you went to school with called Sid, and I thought, no one's called Sid anymore. That was very much in your age, like there was a Sid.
No, Sid was well before mine.
but you went to school with a lad called Sid, and I was trying to think of ones for me, and for me, I went to a school with a kid called Vincent. Yep. I don't think people are called Vincent anymore.
Graham.
Yeah, yep. That's one that's...
Martin.
That's gone.
You don't really get many Martins
Graham
anymore.
Graham McNeil.
Martin.
Ian's, you don't get many Ian's.
Not a lot of Ian's. Right. I think one that I came up with was Terence, because you get people go straight to Terry.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like one of my closest friends at school was a Ricky, and it blew my mind when I realised that wasn't an abbreviation for anything. Yeah. You're actually called Ricky, and there's Terry's. People will be called Terry, but no one calls a baby Terence.
No, there's a lot of women called Terry now. There's not many men called Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
What I wanted more than anything was a mate called Ricky or Terry when I was
I had a mate. Well, my spirit animal is Terry. Do you remember that story?
Yes, of course.
What's the story of your spirit animal,
My
Terry?
Spirit animal is a human being called Terry.
And is he...
Terry Butcher. Terry fucking Butcher.
And was he born Terence? Or was he always Terry?
I didn't have time to ask him those sort of questions, mate. We were talking about the fucking workings of a male and female anatomy.
I also think there was like back then, like if I think of myself,
because there's a slight difference in the age genre. So again, I didn't grow up with any Sids.
No,
there weren't any Sids or Sidneys, but you had a Sid. It piqued my interest as soon as I heard it. I was like, Sid that you went.
Well,
to
our friend
equally, Chris. Just quickly, they talk a lot about boys and guys who had pubes at school. Really obsessed with pubes. But go on. Continue.
Yeah, that is a big theme.
It's a big theme. It comes up a lot.
Really did as well.
It's a big theme. If it's a big theme, if you didn't have them,
and I didn't mention anyone
and go, he probably had pubes.
Come over, it's a safe space.
Oh, come on, I was a late bloomer. Jesus Christ, I'm still waiting.
I think there was
like lads at my school that were like, and I always associate these two names with like hard kids.
Yeah.
And you don't really get like the tough kids with these names anymore. Sean.
Yeah.
Sean could have a fight, but the ultimate fella you didn't want to get into a tear up with, Dean. Dean could have a rat.
Yeah.
One that was
that
in
sounds the, very far at that does
in
as
two,
well,
two,
yeah.
2 years below me at school, there was a Colin. I don't think there's a lot of Colins.
No, or Tremors.
No, it's no Colin.
I think it was one of the last Colins.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anyone named God for quite a while.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Zebediah. Judas. Judas really died off. Adolf ain't what he used to be.
Donald
has died off in this generation. That is done. There's no... No, but I don't know. The balance of Donald Glover.
Yeah, duck.
That's Donald, not a balance, you idiot. Well,
Donald Glover is...
They're
as,
low fucking hell.
I would say Donald Glover is as good
Fisher.
As... I would say Donald Glover is as good as Donald Trump is bad. No. I'm a big Donald Glover fan, I guess.
No, so am I. I didn't think he ruined Predator 2 at all, but, you know, I've got the unpopular opinion on that.
Well, in the next episode of the Return to the Whiffin, we will talk about Stu's weekend away and if it was as grim as it sounded. I want to talk to you about the Shane McGowan documentary.
Yes.
Having a scene
can we
with
get
Billy
around
Bragg.
To talking about Dartford, please?
Dartford.
Can we talk about me?
DJ Dartford.
Yes. I've also noted favourite kind of shark and favourite kind of whale. That's
absolutely.
Clearly
that's
only for Chris. I've clearly only
I've just,
noted
I've just that
for Chris.
I've just stood up. I got so excited.
You just right. opened your shark app.
Let's have a little...
My shark app.
You've had that in development for ages. Let's have a little wee break and we'll be back in part three.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There you go. That was part two of the Big Birthday Bash and the Return to the Whiffin. Parts three and four will be with you on Monday because, quite frankly, we think you need a bit of a breather, okay? So just take a minute, take in what you've just experienced, and then we'll be back on Monday with two more bonus episodes. You're already getting bonus episodes, so don't start coming at me that you need it early. Monday is the day for both of them. It'll be midnight and midday. So until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.